Hey guys, Chris here from the Fanboy Garage. I just wanted to jump on before the episode starts. This is episode 175 to let you know in advance that this is kind of a Frankenstein episode for us. We had some technical difficulties in the beginning and wound up having to record half the episode with one set of equipment on one software and the other half of the episode on completely different equipment with completely different software. So we just kind of pieced it all together. So it's probably going to sound a little bit weird, but what are you going to do, right? We definitely wanted to give you an episode this week. So with that in mind, sit back and enjoy episode 175 of the Fanboy Garage.
You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.
Welcome to the Fanboy Garage, maybe. I'm Chris Lasanti from a temporary remote location, joined by my co-host, Aaron Varola.
Yo, what's up, folks? Welcome to episode 175 of the Fanboy Garage. Hope everyone's having a good week so far. Lots of stuff to discuss. I mean, TV has never been better. But before we get into that, box office, obviously, Top Gun continues to reign supreme. Stranger Things is upon us. Black Adam drops this week. What else? Miss Marvel drops this week. And let's not forget about that epic episode 3 of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
But let's start with the box office.
Yeah, so the big story at the box office this weekend was once again Top Gun Maverick, which, we're recording this on Monday, so we have the final numbers for the weekend, and it did $90 million in its second weekend domestic. That's a 29% drop. That's the eighth biggest second weekend of all time, and it is... That's just crazy. it only dropped 32% international as well. So right now it's already at 557.2 million worldwide. And as we're recording this, it's set to become the first ever $300 million domestic box office performance for Tom Cruise ever.
Wow.
Yeah. And his before this, his highest domestic box office total was War of the Worlds in 2005 at $234.3 million.
Wow, he's living the dream.
Yes, I mean movies just don't have drops like that.
You know, I'm so intrigued to see this film.
Like, yeah.
So intrigued, but I don't know when I'm gonna
yeah
when that's actually gonna be a thing.
I know. It's crazy to how much what this movie's doing and the whole. I mean, a 29% second weekend for movies that make. I think I saw that. Where was it? I saw a stat about. This was when it was going to be originally they were projecting a 32% drop because it was supposed to do 86 million. That was yesterday's estimate.
Mm.
But now that it's at 29% and it's 90 million, it doesn't really matter because that's the smallest. Either way, it would have been it's the smallest second weekend drop ever for a movie that had $100 million plus opening weekend.
Wow, that's bonkers.
Yeah, which, I mean, you would think, because what movie has a 29% drop in the second weekend, especially one that makes the kind of money this one made in its opening weekend?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's and where it sits as far as biggest second weekends, like non-holiday second weekends. Right now, it's just about neck and neck with Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast slightly higher by like a couple of dollars. I mean, and the only other movies that did better were The Avengers, Jurassic World, Black Panther, and then Infinity War and Endgame.
That's bananas.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about crazy, crazy box office stuff here. Yeah, I mean, I guess I have to see this at some point. I'm not sure what that point is going to be, but I mean, people eating this movie up. I wonder if this is going to have any residual impact on like the next Mission Impossible movie.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine so. I feel like people are going to be like, oh my God, Tom Cruise is amazing. But then again, like, isn't it just Tom Cruise being Tom Cruise? So I don't know. You know what I'm seeing? And like, the fact that it's like it's a Top Gun movie. I mean, this movie's been forever. Remember the trailer dropped like 2 years ago. you know, and I was like excited about it then, but like I'm now I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get in the cockpit and check this thing out, but I'd be interested to see how Mission Impossible. But I don't even know what number we're at now. Seven? Is that what this was? Eight? Seven? Yeah.
Yeah, because three, and then you had Ghost.
Ghost Protocol. Ghost
Protocol. Yeah, seven.
Crazy. I, you know, it was funny. I watched the trailer for that, and it looks great.
Yeah, I like those. I mean, I actually, and I know there are people that they say the first one is their favorite. I didn't love the first movie, and
such a cluster.
Yeah, the second movie was one of the great disappointments that I've had because John Woo directed that, and it sucks. The third one was pretty good. That's the J.J. Abrams one. And that's kind of where you start to get. So like, I look at it this way, and this is a little weird, but like, to me, Mission Impossible 3 is kind of like the Fast and Furious of the franchise. Cause it's where you start to see the beginnings of where the franchise is going. And then from there you get the three named movies, which I love all three of those. And they kind of take on a little bit different feel. But yeah, I've never seen any of. Well, I saw the first one in the theaters, and I have not seen another one in the theater since. But I own them all, and I've seen them all.
Yeah,
and I enjoy the franchise for the most part.
That first one with John Voight.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm trying to, you know, the surprise of making like the iconic character from the TV series making him the villain was like,
But it's interesting because this movie. This new one, there's some parallels to the first one. Like, so I don't even know the actor's name. The guy that when he meets him in the restaurant after his team has been killed. Do you remember that scene in the restaurant? Like the epic scene where Tom Cruise bursts out of the aquarium.
Yep.
So that conversation, like at the angles and all that, it takes place again in the trailer. Mm. Like with the same character, the same guy. Like, you know, and he's like, oh, I imagine Ethan or Agent Hawk that you'd be very angry. He's like, you've never seen me very angry. So like that's just kind of,
yeah.
I'm like, damn, I feel old watching that trailer. When that first movie come out, like 95, 96?
Probably.
Shit. I have no idea. I feel like it's like 96.
96, yeah.
Wow. Hey.
Brian De Palma directed that.
Did he really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it's alive and well.
Yes. And number two this weekend was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness once again.
Holding on.
Yeah, that movie is now has broken the $900 million mark at the global box office. It did 9 million domestic, 11 million international. So it's 909.4 million. So yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, and that one's, I guess, getting ready to, what is it?
Released June 22nd.
June 22nd. Yes.
Yeah.
Going to,
is that for, I think it's like Disney, is that Disney Plus Day? Is that what that is?
I don't
remember. I know like Disney Plus Day is coming up soon.
Yeah, I don't think it is. No, because I think,
let me see.
What did I see was going to be the thing for Disney Plus Day? There was something else.
Yeah, there was a, was it a Pixar movie? Was it Lightyear? No. I'm gonna find it. Of course, yeah. Now I'm like, what am I doing? What am I looking up on Disney Plus Day? What is the thing for this? Oh, I Am Groot.
Yeah,
August 10th, Disney Plus Day.
Got it. Okay.
So that'll be the animated short series.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, there'll be a couple of other shows too, but I Am Groot is probably the one that is most noteworthy. Before we get off the box office,
yeah,
can't talk about that other movie that was re-released and the bum who's rubbing two pennies together in the corner made more money than this movie.
I don't know how many like more times you. Now apparently there were like, and I didn't see this, but apparently like there have been a lot of Morbius memes going around, so they thought that once again people are going to eventually realize that things that are trending and having and things that have memes and all that mean nothing. They mean nothing when it comes to money, to box office, to any of that stuff. And I think that what they're seeing is that the movie still didn't make any money. It reopened in like a thousand theaters and made like $85,000 or something.
Wow.
It was some wacky number. So it still tanked again. It tanked for the second time. Right. And it's like, look, the movie's already available at home. Like just because there's memes going around doesn't mean that all of a sudden people want to run to a theater and see a movie that they could just watch at home right now.
Right.
So again, that just shows you still how kind of flawed Sony is and the way that they go about these things.
Yeah. And Madam Web is apparently about to enter production.
Great.
Any moment now.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Whatever.
In Boston, I think.
Yeah.
Just tearing it apart. It's like they build this thing and then they're like a 3-year-old with their Lego set. They build this thing and then they're like, we're just going to push it down.
Yeah.
And break it apart.
Yeah. Okay. So before we forget, because I forgot last week, I want to make sure I get this in. We have a giveaway.
Hey.
I was supposed to do this last week for the anniversary show, and just we got caught up in everything else. So I didn't get to it. But we have a digital code for Spider-Man No Way Home. So I don't know what you want to do for this, but I'll let you come up with what people have to do to win this.
Oh my gosh. Dude, put me on the spot.
Yeah, that's what I just did.
Okay. I mean, I'll do it now, then I'll post it on our Twitter feed. All right. Actually, you know what? Why don't you wait? Why don't we wait till the middle of the show and do some trivia?
Okay.
And because it's only right, you know, Spider-Man is celebrating his 60th anniversary, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do a little trivia.
Okay.
And then I'll ask the question and see who can come up with the answer. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's see, just some news bits. I don't know if you saw that, not that this is really news, but there was an article in Variety where Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who are writing Deadpool 3, stated that this is not going to be like a Disney-fied movie. It's going to be a rated R movie. I assume that they could always release this under like 20th Century Studios, right? I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Disney release because, I mean, that's where they got this property from anyway, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I don't see why that's like, you know, I know people are like, oh, how are they going to, well, that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to probably be, I don't know if it's going to be Marvel Studios. Maybe it will be. But it doesn't seem like it, right? Because you would think that you would hear like Kevin Feige being involved in this and stuff, but
right,
he's not. So I guess we'll see what happens there. Also, Toby Emmerich is gone.
What do you mean he's gone?
We'll be leaving.
Leaving what, Earth?
Warner Brothers Discovery.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's going to be replaced by Michael DeLuca and Pamela Abdi, who I guess were running MGM for Amazon. And they're going to get released from those their contracts to go run Warner Brothers and New Line.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, I don't know. So I still have not watched another episode of Stranger Things.
I'm halfway through the second episode.
Yeah, I have through the second episode.
The second episode.
Oh, I do say halfway through the season. Okay. Yeah. So I'm a little further along than you are, but I plan on catching up a little bit, I think, this weekend. But The Boys is back.
Yeah. And I'm halfway through that second episode.
Okay.
Let's start with Stranger Things first.
Okay.
I'm digging it.
Yep.
I like the slow, like, so far it's like a small, well, I say slow burn, but like I don't even know, because mostly everyone was probably listening to the show like, dude, finish it already, man. But you know what's happening is that I'm enjoying the slow pace of watching shows. I'm done with the binging. I'm tired of binging. Mm-hmm. So like I like taking it like one episode, you know, very slowly at a time. I did it with Ozark, let it sit and stew for a little bit. But I'm really digging like the, you know, everyone said, oh, it's like super horror focused. And, you know, Stranger Things has always been horror focused. I think, you know, we're full on into the 80s, but we're into like very different territory of the 80s. Like, it's like the 80s that I like actually remember and, you know, lived in. So I'm all in right now on the show, and I like the, I was just saying to my wife while I was watching it, I really like the writing for the show. It's always entertaining,
right?
So you know, it's freaky as hell, you know. First episode, like, sucked this chick's eyeballs out of her head and then turned her into a pretzel. Which reminded me of A Nightmare on Elm Street, where I think it's, well, not Nancy, I forget the girl's name. She ends up on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He just rips her apart up on the ceiling.
No, what was her name? I never remember.
Tori? Is that, no?
No, it's not Tori. Yeah. Anyway,
anyways, it's great. Yeah, I like it. I dig it. Finn Wolfhard is one of the ugliest kids I've ever seen in my life. He belongs on the show. These kids all look weird to me. Yeah. As they've gotten older, they just—I don't know if that's like that's what they're purposefully doing, but man, these kids are weird, weird looking. Finn Wolfhard specifically.
Okay.
He's a Stranger Thing.
Yeah.
For sure. And then that's all. That's all I have to say about that until I continue and watch more of the show. but I like
it. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely good. I mean, again, I'm only two episodes in, so it's a little tough to, you know, to kind of, I've just gotten to the point, I think, where like the story itself is developing.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to say, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. And then, yeah, let's get into the boys real quick. One episode and a half in there. Yeah. Wow. This one kicked off with a bang.
It sure did.
Literally laughing to myself for a day of like, I just watched a superhero jump into somebody's dick and then explode out of him.
So I, you know, a friend of mine said to me, please tell me that it doesn't start off with Homelander masturbating on top of a building again, because I don't think I could handle that. And I was like, well, it doesn't, but
yeah,
I was like, they see that and they double you there because there's something even. And I'm like, I'm not even going to bother telling you. And so sure enough, they were like, oh, my God. Yeah. As soon as it happened, I was like, oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just love that they keep. First of all, I would love to find out like how you pitch that. Like what's that meeting like, you think?
Oh my God. They're like, yo, we're gonna create this little super named Termite, right? That was his name. Yeah. And he's gonna jump into his guy and he's just gonna like rub his arms into his urethra and then sneeze from all the coke he did. What? What? I literally was like, and then I'm watching this with my wife, and she's like, it's a naked dude running in the middle of a man's dick. Like, what is going on? And I'm like, I have no clue what's happening here. I cannot believe. And I literally watched him enter the hole. Disturbing. They really upped the ante in this whole thing. This show is just bananas. But I'm love it. I think it's great. I think it's good TV. It's different. You know, I love oh my God, Carl Urban. So good, man. They're all actually top notch. I really hate Homelander, man. I always say this every season, man. Like, you're meant to hate him, but man, that guy, that dude's face. Ugh. Can't stand him.
Yeah.
Can't stand them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, that's the desired result. So that works out.
Yeah.
But I mean, this show is great because it keeps pushing boundaries and it's things that you would say, like, you would never be able to see that. Like, you couldn't film that. Like, that would never be able to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's doing these things and it's just like, man, it just makes me wish more and more that like certain things, you know, would be revisited now, maybe like in a time like this, you know?
Yeah.
Where you can get away with stuff like this.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And it urges me to, like, I need to watch Invincible. I need to check that show out.
Mm.
So yeah. Anyways. So trivia here it is. So, to get your hands on the digital copy of Spider-Man No Way Home, the trivia that somebody, listener, anyone on Twitter needs to answer is how many different alternate versions of Spider-Man are there in the comic books, and you need to name them.
Okay.
That is it. Good luck.
And where are they going to send that to?
You're going to send it to @TheFanboyGarage on Twitter. And if you don't have a Twitter, then you can email us at thefanboygarage@gmail.com.
There you go.
Bingo.
And just put, if you're going to email us, just put in the subject line Spider-Man or
yeah,
something like that. Yeah. so that we know.
So first one who gets it in wins.
All right.
A free version, free copy of Spider-Man No Way Home. Epic film. There it is.
Okay, so you know, just before we go, before we go talking about Obi-Wan, I was watching the first episode of The Orville this weekend, which is now on Hulu. And it's interesting because I've been anxiously anticipating this now for like 3 years, because the first two seasons were awesome. And this season, which is not being called season three, it's being called New Horizons, is now, it moved from Fox to Hulu. But the interesting thing about it is that the special effects look far more advanced on Hulu, and like they're almost like cinematic quality, and the episodes are much longer. Like this episode, I don't know how what the length of all the episodes is going to be like, but this episode's like an hour and 10 minutes long, you know, which is, I mean, the other episodes, cause it was on Fox, were like 45 minutes, you know, without commercials. So like you would think that jumping to a streaming service like that, that the budget would get shrunk down considerably, but no. Apparently that is not the case.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's that Disney money.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we moved from where to where?
Fox. So it was on Fox, for Fox? Broadcast.
Oh, okay.
To Hulu.
I mean, so is that that's a public-private move, isn't it? Like, Fox is like a... Well, no, they're both publicly traded companies. No, yeah. I'm just trying to understand like where the budget, where the increase, from?
I mean, unless Seth MacFarlane's pumping money in.
Yeah, as a producer.
You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know where it's coming from.
Or they're just like, hey, man, like Fox doesn't know how to run this shit, so we're just going to, you know, we know how to make it look really good at a, you know, at a discount.
Yeah. And if you're not watching The Orville, I know I've talked about it before, but you should be if you love like fun Star Trek style, like sci-fi. This is my favorite science fiction show on television right now. As much as I love Star Trek Strange New Worlds, The Orville, I just love it. I love how fun it is. It just kind of checks off a lot of boxes for me. So, yeah, you really should be watching it. And all the seasons are now available on Hulu. So you could catch up easily if you, you know, if you're going to watch this new one. And yeah, and that's that. All right. So just to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit here, we're kind of Frankensteining this episode because we had some technical difficulties in the beginning, which caused us to have to use a different method of recording and everything. Which then also ran into technical difficulties. So we are kind of sort of back to the old way, sort of, kind of. So this episode might sound a little weird as far as audio quality goes, because it was like literally recorded on two different sets of equipment with two different softwares. So you might just get us talking about Obi-Wan. You know, I kind of have the same feeling after this episode that I had after the first two episodes, which is like, I'm really enjoying what I'm watching.
Yeah.
But there still are issues with the show. And like, but for some reason, I'm not allowing the issues to get to me. Like it's not taking away from my enjoyment, kind of, but at the same time. Because
it's Star Wars. It's like fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool. I like this character and I like the bad guy.
Right. And it's interesting to see people's reactions, because I feel like I'm seeing there are people who are just not going to like anything.
Right.
You know, at this point that isn't like the original trilogy or whatever.
Sure.
And then there are people that I feel like are just, they like everything that has to do with Star Wars.
Yes.
And doesn't matter. And they're like, They don't even really want to hear about the flaws and stuff like that.
That's right. And a lot of those people are like, F you if you don't like this show.
Yeah, or, well, I think that's on all sides, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm mixed on the show. I think you said it just right. It's like I'd like what I'm watching. It's Star Wars. I'm enjoying what's on the screen.
Yeah.
But like I walk away from it, I'm like, eek. Like get this pit in my stomach. Like, man, why would they do that?
Yeah.
And it's not like it's not necessarily bad stuff, but like, it's almost watching somebody painting in a room in a square room. And I'm like, how are you going to get to all those corners without painting yourself in it?
Yeah.
You know, or really mucking up what you've created.
Right.
And so,
I did think that some of the things in this episode felt like a little rushed because
there's
only six episodes. I actually was listening to somebody talk about the show that isn't like a big Star Wars fan, you know, like they've watched, probably have seen some of the movies, you know, and they've watched The Mandalorian and they watched Boba Fett, Book of Boba Fett. But like, they're really not like big, big Star Wars fans. And they kind of had the same reaction. They're like, I feel like things are happening way too quickly in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I immediately tweeted after the show and it said the Vader. Well, I just put too soon. I felt like the Vader Obi-Wan meetup happened way too fast. Like I could have. Look, and I'm not writing the show, right? This is just my opinion here. But I feel like the cat and mouse game that was being played in episode 1 and 2,
yep,
could have served itself well if it was paid off towards the back end of the season. Like to introduce them right here, right now, means then that at some point he has to, Obi-Wan, get himself right. Like this,
mm-hmm.
So that he can then face Vader again, right? Because it's going to happen again, right?
Right.
Like, so, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Like, I loved how it was set up. I love the sort of play between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
The dialogue was, you know, at some points it was a little very like spot on for Vader, but you know, interesting. Just the connection between the two and then it was kind of like, I don't know, at the end of it, when, you know, after he's dragging his ass through the fire and then the fire is bigger and the droid comes, I'm like, this is Vader, dude. Like, he just force choked you across the flame. Why didn't he just stop the droid?
Right.
Like, and I'm like, all right, Aaron, you know, calm down. And I thought like some of the stuff that was happening was like too convenient. Like,
yeah.
Like Reva finding Leia at the other side of the tunnel. Like, how did you get there? Like, yeah, wow. What is that? You know what I mean? It creepy as hell what she was, you know, like how she meets her, but like I'm like, what is that? How did you know, like Leia is like, it looks like she's running forever, and I'm granted she got little legs, but like, you know, and then Reva's just like there. Okay. Didn't you, and you guys all got to this planet like so fast. But anyways, I mean like that's like little nitpicky shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that we have to get to. And I said something like on Twitter again that I feel like the six episodes it's in theory sounds awesome, but like this is rushed. This feels way too like boom, 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 where if we had like another two episodes, I feel like some of the writing decisions would have been a little different. And look, I'm not trying to write this thing in my head, like how it's going to go or how it's going to end or whatever. But like I know that there are certain boxes that we need to tick, right? We need to understand Reva's gripes with Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. So that's box one that we need to tick. Leia's got to get back home, right? We're back to our parents. Box two needs to get ticked. Obviously, the biggest box is box number three. Well, no, box three, which is tied to box number four, is Obi-Wan has to feel confident again, right? There's a hero's journey. Like, he has to reawaken the Force in him, connect with Qui-Gon, and whoop that ass, that Vader ass, which is number four,
right?
Which is the final showdown. And that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I read a thing today about how because the viewership has been through the roof that they may wind up doing a season two.
Why?
But it's like, yeah, like what more story? And again, this is where you start to get crazy, where like going back to what I talked about last week, which is like, I don't want to live in this universe, no, in this timeline that much longer. And now it's like, what if they did do a season two? Who would we have to bring in for that? And what are they going to screw around with?
Boba Fett? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can't. Is it going to be Yoda? You know? I'm.
And again, that's not a, you know, guarantee that that's going to happen.
I hope they don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not, that's not, you know, they have to remember, like, yes, viewership is through the roof. It's just about, like, this interesting question mark of a story between Vader and Obi-Wan. You know, a lot of gray territory between, like, oh, Obi-Wan once felt like you did, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, that's a lot of sort of, you know, making shit up as you go along to make it work for you.
Right.
I don't know where else they can go. I don't want to see Darth Maul. You know, I don't like, I feel like if you play Vader in the right way, like you're going to get the viewership up because people love Vader. And this is my whole thing. Like with Obi-Wan without Vader, isn't going to make it what it is. You know, you put Obi-Wan in Rogue One, like that shit goes through the roof. You put Vader in Andor, it's going to go through the roof. Like, I feel like Vader is just going to be, he's like the thing. It's the Skywalker thing, right? Same thing with Luke Skywalker. Had they revealed that Luke Skywalker was going to pop up in an episode of The Book of Boba Fett, Boba Fett would have been through the effing roof. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think they just need to recognize who their like star players are,
yeah,
and like you know do the show. But again, like it to me, it goes back to the stuff that I've talked about before about this over reliance on Skywalkers.
Yeah, and not only that, but like even like going back to like how things are rushed. Like one thing I know it's been debated on is like whether Reva's going to get like a redemption arc here, yeah. And I really hope she doesn't because it would be rushed.
Yeah,
like we just met this character. Like, at what is going to happen? Like, how much more are we going to get to know about the character in the next couple of episodes that I'm going to care about her redemption arc?
Well, the thing is, too, now that Vader's on, like, on the screen, it doesn't matter what she does, who she is, where she came. I don't care about that stuff. Like, she's not important anymore. Oh, you're going to go chase the seat? Good for you. The problem with her motivations for chasing the seat says, like, the reason why I don't really care about it is because I know you don't get the seat.
Right.
Because the Grand Inquisitor somehow comes back. He has to come. There's no way they're going to kill him. No way they're going to do that. That just mucks everything up. Unless they're like, no one really watched Rebels. No one's really going to care.
No, from what – I mean, I read a thing today with the where the one of the writers for the show was like, no, we're sticking with canon. Like, we hold canon.
Yeah, Dave Filoni is our executive producer. We can't do that shit.
Yeah. So they're going to figure out something at some point.
He's going to come back. Like, I saw someone walking – I was watching a lot of, like, cosplay stuff at Star Wars Celebration, and someone was dressed up as a Grand Inquisitor with a Band-Aid on his stomach. I mean, and that's the thing. This is the problem. You introduce a character who has her motivation of like chasing the Grand Inquisitor's seat, right? Gets real close to Vader, right? But like, you don't pop up in the future, so we don't know if you really exist or if you're even out there. And they've done a great job, like, mind you, they've done a great job at like dropping characters into this world, and then leaving big old question marks of like whether or not they're still around. Like Thrawn is one, Ezra Bridger is one, you know what I'm saying? Harrison Dula is one. Like all of those animated characters that are just kind of floating out there in the ether, like they could pop up. And that's awesome. But like Reva and all of the Inquisitors, like we don't see them at all, right? They disappear. So do I actually give a shit about Reva and her potential redemption or lack thereof? No, I don't care about her. What I care about is Vader versus Kenobi. Now, had they have pushed that to the back end episodes 5, 6, then I would have been able to sit with the Reva thing a little bit more and understand, like, they could have sewed that like together a little better with like her relationship to Vader, why it matters, blah blah blah, Obi-Wan Kenobi, like all of that. Now that it's all just like, the other thing too was like the Leia story had its potential to be out, because the point of Leia was to be the bait to bring Obi-Wan to Vader, right? Was to prove to Vader or whoever that he was still alive. Now that that's done, they could have just let her go and figure herself out. But obviously he gets away. So I'm like, all right, here we go. Dangling the carrot once again.
Right.
But like that puts her so close to Vader too. So I'm just like, oh my God. I think maybe it's the continuity thing in me. I'm like, things exist?
I know. I'm with you on that.
And she's clearly using the Force. Like this, you know, these like all of a sudden she makes this like serious face and she looks up at Ben and is like, you've been hiding something the entire time I've met you. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh boy. So in theory, you know, and that's the thing. Like someone goes, because the good stuff is that, like, obviously, like, the James Earl Jones voice thing was great to hear, you know, Vader. Sure. Like that. Confirmed that they're using AI.
Yep.
To make that happen, which is great. I speculated as much as that was going to be a thing.
To make the voice sound younger for those of you who,
who
don't know what we're talking about.
But because you could hear the age in his voice when he did it for Rogue One. Yes. So, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's James Earl Jones. I'm like, yeah, technically, yes, but technically, no. So anyways, I thought that was really cool. But someone tweeted at me and they're like, oh, you know, like you're just so negative on the show. And I'm like, I'm not though. That's the thing. Like, I don't have the rose colored glasses on.
Right. And I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, you're a little bit more nitpicky than I am, but I keep saying like, I'm enjoying what I'm watching, but I do have issues with it. And it's rare that I'm in that position, because I'm usually one of those people that hates when people say, I really enjoyed it, but
yeah,
I hate that. But I'm doing it now with this show, and it's because of the fact that, you know, I'm having trouble separating my issues with the show from the entertainment value of it and the cool aspects of it. But you know what? That's fine. I mean, in the end, I'll get past that. You know, we've had enough of these things, but I do see a lot of rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
And I think just a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are a lot of people out there that want Star Wars to be kind of what you don't want it to be at this point. And I think that's where the disconnect is. Like, they want Obi-Wan. They want, like, their people are excited that Hayden Christensen is in the suit. I could care less about that. Like, why? Who cares? He's a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, people are actually talking about, oh, it's great that is it?
Yeah.
Like, what? How do you even know? If someone didn't tell you that Hayden Christensen was in the suit, would you know? No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, why should I care about that? Like, it's Darth Vader to me. Like, the fact that they put Hayden Christensen in that suit is silly. Now, I would have to think that at some point that pays off.
somewhere. I mean, you saw him for a hot second.
You did.
His, like,
but like he, they have to have. There's got to be more to it, because if he got hired to be the guy in the suit, like I just don't get it. And you know, so that's where like the rose colored glasses come over. It's like when people get overly excited about something like that that has been almost inconsequential.
Yeah.
In this series so far. Like, that's when you're like, wow, people are just really, they love the nostalgic aspects of this. And that's something that you don't necessarily want. Like, you're looking to move away from this.
I mean, but it's cool. Like I said, though, it's cool as shit. But, like, once again, here we are.
Yeah, you know? Like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and nip. Like, I saw people nitpicking, like, the fight, you know, the battle between Obi-Wan and Vader. And they're like, oh, well, you know, this and that and... I'm just
like, oh, he was able to like whip some ass in Rogue One, but like here he's like one-arming him.
And I was just enjoying it. I thought it was cool. You know, like, so there's things like that where I'm like, man, this is cool. Like Vader and Obi-Wan are fighting a version of Obi-Wan that we have not seen in live action fight Vader is happening in live action.
A Vader
right
that
now.
We've not seen Correct. Either because he's relatively still new to the suit and all of that stuff. So like,
this is cool.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fine.
It was exciting to see. I mean, the how many times can you run away from Vader was kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
He's just he's like the Jason Voorhees, just kind of walks around. He can't run.
Yeah.
But you could feel the weight, you know, that suit. Just like how cumbersome and heavy it feels, I thought it was well choreographed, because you get the sense of like Vader kind of toying with Obi-Wan and Obi-Wan not feeling sure about himself anymore and like not wanting to ignite the lightsaber and all that shit. So I thought that was fine. And then obviously Vader dragging his ass through the fire was like top notch, and you know, and obviously like killing all of the innocent people, which we've never seen before. Quite right. Horrific, actually.
Yeah.
Vader just walking through a town, snapping necks and throwing people around was pretty dope until he got to the family, until he got to the couple, which he stopped. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think there's some hidden subtext there.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. I actually just tweeted this before, but it's interesting that the last time we saw these two characters together was episode 3, and the first time we see them come together is episode 3. Bing, bing. Google. Figure that out.
Wow.
Yeah, I stay up all night thinking about this shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's a deep cut right
that's
there.
A deep, deep cut. But look, you know.
No, it's funny because it's like an obvious deep cut. But like,
yeah,
I don't even know
many people put it together.
Yeah.
But look, I'm trying not to write this show in my head. Obviously, you know, he escaped. The robot picked his ass up and took him away. So we'll see where I'm like, oh, where does it go now? Okay, we just, you know, they've got Leia again. So we'll see on Wednesday. But yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
That's for sure.
I mean, I'm having fun with it. Don't get me wrong.
Of course,
it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'll eat that shit up all day.
And it looks good. It sounds good.
I mean, Vader sounded the best he sounded in years.
Yeah.
It was great. You know, he sounded better than he did in the prequels. Where's Padme?
Well, that was a disaster. I mean, that's a fiasco.
I felt her.
Yeah.
She was right here. Oh, that
and,
was like...
You know, and it's as much as I don't want to be that guy who like... Because I have, you know, I got the... I think I got them at Comic-Con. Maybe I didn't. Actually, I may have gotten them on eBay. But like I got the Blu-rays that people put together of the...
You,
like the
oh, original, you got those? The OT, the original trilogy stuff?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. And
the despecialized version?
Yes.
You lucky bastard.
Yeah, and I got them because it's cool too, because they put like the original artwork on it too on the Blu-ray cases.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so mad at you, man.
Thanks.
Where did you get those?
I want to say I thought I got them at Comic-Con.
No, you didn't get them at Comic-Con.
But I may have gotten
them.
Not
with me.
I may have gotten them on eBay.
I would have killed you on the spot, like. fact that you would have been walking. Oh, hey, Aaron, look what I got. I don't know. Where the hell did you get that shit? I'm going to go get it right now.
I may have gotten them on eBay. It's very possible.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. Anyway, I don't want to be that guy that's like, those are the only versions that I want to watch, because that's not accurate. But like, when he, the fact that they put the no in Return of the Jedi to mimic,
no!
That makes me almost want to only watch the despecialized versions, because that's tough to take.
I don't like that shit at all.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit at all. There's a lot of that stuff in there. I'm like, but he sounds great now. I mean, I'll tell you what, that AI mechanical voice thing that they're doing sounds great. And, you know, obviously it's probably Hayden.
I did, but for the record, I did get them on eBay.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About 2.5 years ago.
Damn, so they're probably gone.
Let's see. They are gone.
Yeah. Lucky bastard. Yeah. Oh, you lucky bastard, you. On the hunt. Obviously not as feverish as I should be. But yeah, I've been dying to get my hands on those. I'm sure Hayden Christensen is doing the lines, and they're just dubbing over with the Vader thing. But I love that line of like, what have you done to yourself? And he's like, I am what you've made me. Oh, epic. And yeah, I love, you know, some of the callbacks to the other films, right? Like the, everyone's posting this shit on Twitter, the side, you know, the Skywalker side ignition of the lightsaber, you know, you see it in Vader, you see it in Luke Skywalker and Kylo Ren and everybody else and blah, blah, blah. Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Great that you guys are all picking up on those visual cues. But no, that's not its spiteful. I'm sorry. I'm glad that you guys are enjoying that. That's cool.
I think the problem is you get in caught up in the social media interactions, which
I mean, I do, but I don't. I mean, because I don't really participate in some of that stuff. Yeah. I just like, yeah, okay. But I do, because everyone, you know, I'm like way in with the comment, and then everyone's like, who are you talking about, dude? Jesus Christ, what are you doing that for? Rick is always like, you know, he loves it, and right, you know, he should. It's great. He's been asking for this for years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This has been his jam forever.
And this is probably not even what he was expecting.
No, but he's all for it, and it's great. I just want to know why Obi-Wan couldn't walk around the laser gate.
Well, yeah, see, those are the things that I'm trying not to get.
You know what I'm saying, man? But it's like, it's the obvious shit. You're in the middle of a desert, and there's a laser gate that cut a dude in half, and you're like, I'm going to shoot it. Like, just walk around it.
Yeah.
I didn't see any cacti.
There is a little bit of the little bit. Maybe even more than a little bit of the idiot plot being used in this. For whatever reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the time constraints. You know.
Going back to the other thing I said about the 8 episodes. I think 8 episodes is a sweet spot. Sweet. You get a lot. You can get a lot done. You can get a lot of story out of those 8 hours if you keep it tight.
Yeah.
6, I feel like at some point, you're going to rush that shit. It's gonna go from like, we're gonna snail pieces. We're off to a sprint. That's it. Now we've exhausted ourselves. We've hit the wall. We're vomiting on ourselves. It's just gonna go however else we feel like it's gonna go.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna end it, and that's the end of that. And we're gonna leave you with this feeling of like, how did I get here again? What just happened?
Right.
What, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like that almost was like, I mean, yeah, there's so many shows that do this now. Where you're rushing.
Yeah.
Or there's not enough meat, so they're just like, I'm gonna throw in some other characters for you guys and distract you with Mando and Grogu. And the Mandalorian is actually gonna have more screen time than the person whose show this is actually about.
That's still, I mean, that was still one of the more baffling
That's bizarre.
But there's some critical errors
being made in this one too.
Yeah. I mean, and little things like that, like the thing you talked about walking around the fence. I mean, that could just be like, you know, I don't know that things were rushed, like as far as like script and directing and stuff. Like those are like things that maybe, because there's two types of rushing, right? There's rushing through the plot, right? So like things happen quickly in the course of the show. And then there's rushing, like actually rushing the production.
Right.
I don't know that that was the case. But like some of these things that happened kind of do scream of like rushed production, but I don't know that it was. It could just be, you know, maybe they just oversight, or maybe they don't think it's an issue or whatever. Again, that's where the, I don't want to get too caught up in like the nitpicking of that stuff, because it doesn't ultimately take away from my enjoyment of the episode. It, the things that take away from my enjoyment of the episode would be things that I would be like, oh, why did you do that? But, you know,
there's none of that yet.
I mean, there's certain things. I mean, you know, like I said, little things like as far as more having to do with the, you know, what it means to the bigger timeline and all that stuff. But like, yeah, as far as the show itself and what's on the screen, nothing yet has bothered me, which is good. You know, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm super interested in the Imperial Turncoat character.
Right.
I was like, oh, I'm interested in her and this whole like Underground Railroad type thing.
But there's not, I mean, I can't imagine we're going to get a lot of that though, right?
No, you can't, because she's going to be baggage.
Yeah.
So like, you know, that might give you a little something there about in passing, a little conversation on a starship or some shit.
Right.
You know, and they were name dropping Jedi here and there, like Quinlan Voss. Which is interesting, and I totally think he's probably the one that smuggled Grogu out of the Jedi Temple. So we'll see. And for everyone that's like, who the hell is Quinlan Voss? Don't worry. I'm sure we'll get some more stuff on him. But he was in the Clone Wars TV animated show. Great character, by the way. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, we'll see. Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Let's go. Then after that, we've got, what is it, Wednesday, and then Friday is Ms. Marvel?
Ms. Marvel starts.
And then the hierarchy of power shifts in the DC universe. Great.
Right.
Whatever the hell that means. I'm like, bro, you're stacking yourself up against a whole bunch of weak, wimp-ass characters, except for Wonder Woman.
Tagline. Just
I know the hierarchy of the DC universe is about to change. Yo.
You're getting salty again. Like,
you can't see me.
you've turned on this like Black Adam thing.
Dude, if I see this trailer and it blows my freaking mind, I'm all for it. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of like, because now there's all this talk about with all the shakeup at Warner Brothers that you know, they're wanting to prioritize Superman again. So then the hierarchy of power in the DC universe will shift again.
Which is funny, because they've never really prioritized Superman
ever.
Like, which is part of the problem, right? They try and then they give up on him like right away. Yeah, kinda has always been the pattern. But yeah, it would be nice if they actually did prioritize him and stick with it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
stick with a direction, stick with a, you know, figure out what your magic formula is going to be for how you want Superman to be, which I think is fairly simple, and just stick with it, you know, and just let it play out, you know, don't worry about, well, I mean, you worry about box office to a point, but like, don't set unrealistic expectations for it and just build your story over time and then see where it ends.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get three movies and, or even two movies, and they're not setting the box office on fire by the standards of, you know, big superhero films, then you say, okay, maybe this just isn't a thing.
Right.
But, you know, let it develop, let it build, you know.
Right.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, look at what Top Gun has just done.
Top Gun Maverick, right? A movie that's basically, I think clearly not every movie has to be like cynical. And I mean, you can still make movies like this and have them be really successful. So I don't see why you couldn't just do a traditional Superman movie and have it work. Why does it doesn't have to be dark, doesn't have to be cynical. We don't have to, doesn't have to be like we're not trusting Superman, and it doesn't have to be any of this. It could be very much like, just
Superman saves people.
Superman, yeah, story. I think it could work. And I know the Top Gun thing is kind of a weird comparison, but it kind of isn't if you actually like think about it. Because that's not the type of movie that I think and a lot of people would have thought would be a blockbuster in this day and age. And look right. at what it's doing.
Yeah, a bunch of people.
People would have said, oh, it's a product of its time. It's not going to translate now to 2022. No, but it is, though.
Yeah.
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 So. Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. So on that note, we're going to get out of here. And you can go to thefanboygarage.com and check out all of our stuff. And, of course, you can join the conversation on the social media, the Facebook, the Instagram, and the Twitter, at thefanboygarage. And you can find me on Twitter, at RealCLMighty.
And you can find me on Twitter, at AARonSpeaks. Don't forget about answering the trivia question and get yourself a free digital copy of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah, why don't you throw that out there one more time.
That's right. So the trivia question is, how many alternative versions of Spider-Man have there been, and what are all of their names?
Yeah, and you can tweet that at the Fanboy Garage on Twitter, or you can email, for those of you without Twitter, email thefanboygarage@gmail.com, and please put like Spider-Man or Spider-Man contest, whatever, in the subject line.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks again for listening to episode 175, the Frankenstein edition. We will catch you guys on the next one. Have a good week.